Is from 2 Thessalonians. In the first verse, Paul writes, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians. My reading is from chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ.
It's good to see everybody here. If you weren't here this morning, the gospel can just kind of be an adventure, can it? It's amazing to see it work in other people's lives. It's amazing to have a new brother. I want to talk about another adventurer this morning. Her name was Fran Arsentiev. Now, that's a Russian name. I'm not saying it correctly, and I'm probably not going to say it again. I'll just call her Fran from now on. But Fran grew up in the mountains. She spent her childhood in Colorado. When she went to high school, she went to a boarding school in Switzerland. She was a mountain climber. She graduated, moved back to the mountains. She climbed Denali. She and her husband named a mountain in Russia that they climbed. She was one of the first women, or the first woman, one of the first Western women to ski down the highest slope in Europe. Now you see, she had this dream though. Her dream was to climb Everest. But she wanted to do it in a special way, to be the first American woman to do it in that way. What she wanted to do was climb Everest without oxygen. I can't imagine the amount of training that actually went into that. The amount of planning, just getting the money together alone to do it, had to be an extreme amount of work. She did it though. She got all of her planning done. She got her training done. She got the money together. She even went to her 11-year-old son and asked his permission for her to go climb Everest so that she could become the first woman to reach the top of that mountain without oxygen. She did it. She made it all the way to the top. She achieved her dream. But on the way back, she became snowblind and delirious from oxygen deprivation. She got separated from her husband, and she ultimately died there on the mountain. It's kind of morbid, but I was reading this article by the Smithsonian, and they say there's something like 200 people up there still on the mountain. They're used as waypoints. They're given nicknames. Most famous is probably Green Boots, if you've ever read anything about it. He was an Indian hiker that froze solid. Fran had a nickname also. Her name was Sleeping Beauty. People had to walk past her every time they went up there for 9 years. She was just off the path. People could see her. Until a special expedition went up there and removed her body and put her to rest on another side, another part of the mountain. You know, growing up in school, I was told to follow my dreams. Follow your dreams, work hard, you can do anything you want. Justin, you can even be the president of the United States if you work hard enough. I never really wanted that job, by the way, so I didn't even try. In Jeremiah 10:23, it says, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, is not in man who walks to direct his steps. Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is a deceitful thing. You know, society wants us to be part of that rat race. That's hard to say. It wants us to follow our dreams. It wants us to chase that dollar. It wants us to do whatever it takes to get ahead. Society wants that because that really thinks that's all that is out there. I think that's all that there is to life. And you know, for a Christian, it's easy to slip into that. Without even realizing it, we can start losing our actual focus on what it is to be a Christian. There was these two brothers. They came to Jesus. They were fighting over money. One of them had the inheritance. The other one wanted some of the inheritance, but they were in an argument. So they approach Jesus with this issue, and Jesus says, what are you coming to me for? Why are you making me a lawyer amongst you? Why are you making me a mediator, a judge? And then he goes and tells them this parable. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 15. He says, and he said to them, take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist of abundance of possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he told them, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I will store my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. I want to suggest to you that we don't just lay up material goods. We sometimes lay up experiences too. It's nice to go out and be the first to do something or to go out and do whatever it is that makes you feel good. We can't build barns to store those experiences. We can't focus on what makes us happy. The heart is a deceitful thing. Instead, we need to be doing what leads us to eternal life. So, how do we become rich towards God? Back to my story. There was a lady by the name of Kathy O'Dowd and a gentleman by the name of Ian Woodall. They actually tried to save Fran. I found an article by Kathy where she goes into depth on why they actually had to leave her up on the mountain. Most people had given up. Excuse me. I do that every time, guys. Most people had given up. They saw her there, they realized there was nothing they could do for her, so they just left her there. But Fran, she went over and talked to her. She was still alive. Kathy went over and talked to Fran. Fran was still alive. She said, don't leave me. Please don't leave me. Now, Kathy had an internal struggle. Because there's a law on the mountain that if you go up there, you have to take care of yourself. Not to mention that she had sponsors that put up the money for her to get to the top of the mountain. The top of the mountain was only 240 meters away. They pretty much knew the rescue attempt was doomed. They didn't have enough supplies. They didn't have enough oxygen masks to save her. They would have had somebody in their company would have had to take in their oxygen and given it to her. It was bad news. But Kathy decided to call her trip off and try to save Fran. She did that because she didn't feel like she could live with herself if she didn't at least try. So she canceled her ascent. You gotta realize that climbing Mount Everest costs between $25,000 and $100,000. It is not cheap. And that doesn't include traveling to the mountain. That doesn't include gear. Doesn't include all the training before you even step foot in the country. Climbing that mountain takes money. It takes dedication, and it takes guts. You know, Kathy, she didn't really know Fran. They shared one meal together at base camp. But she saw this woman in need, so she called everything off to try to help that woman. She tried. Unfortunately, as they were trying to help her, they started chattering behind their oxygen masks. They weren't moving enough. They weren't getting their blood flowing. People were going to die when they were helping this woman. But as they were helping, Fran passed away. And they left her there. Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Starting in verse 16. Says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and that we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's good and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, what does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love the world or talk. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Jesus Christ laid his life down for us. We need to be willing to lay our lives down for our brothers. You know, if we have this world's goods, we need to be sharing those, giving them to people that need them. Are we doing that? Laying down our lives for our brothers is not just about dying. It means sometimes that my desires, they get in the way of helping my brother. I need to put those aside. Sometimes my dreams, my goals, they hurt the church. They hurt Christ. We can't let that happen. You know, Kathy O'Dowd, she was just as committed to climbing Everest as Fran was. She put aside the tens of thousands of dollars she's invested in this thing. She's put aside all of the fame and glory she would have gotten from being up there. She probably lost her sponsorships. But she had to try to save that woman, even though she wasn't savable. Because she had to look at herself in the face in the morning. You know, we may not win every soul that we help, but at least we tried to help. That should help us sleep at night. That should help us be able to get up in the morning and look in the mirror and like the person we see. First time I delivered the sermon, there was a hurricane about to hit Florida. Texas was still flooded. Mexico had a massive earthquake. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to help. I had no clue how to help these people that were suffering so much. There was a brother, his name's James. His house was vandalized. It was flooded. It was in bad shape, damaged badly. Carpets were pulled up. Drywall was removed from the walls. You could see studs. He left his house. He got in his truck, drove a semi, and he took goods to help those people. He was in issues himself with floods, but there was people in need, so he had what he could do, and he went and did it. He's a hero. Are we heroes? Are we parts of a solution? I don't have an answer for that. I want to have an answer for that. Paul did have an answer for it, though. In Acts chapter 20. In Acts 20, Paul has called the Ephesian elders together and has told them that he is headed to Jerusalem and that the Holy Spirit is saying that in every city that he goes, he's going to come be afflicted. He's going to end up being imprisoned in Jerusalem. He tells them that there is going to be within their number people that are going to come up and they're going to destroy the church. They're going to pull people away after themselves. Paul gives a solution. He says that for them, he commends them to God's grace, and he tells them to build themselves up, and he gives them, because God will give them inheritance with the saints. But then he goes on to say something that seems kind of strange, a little bit out of context. Take Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 33. It says, I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that the hands that these hands ministered to my own necessities, and that those who were and those that were with me. In all things I have showed you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak and remember the word of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul made a conscious choice not to take anything from the Ephesians. He did this to make a point. He did this to show them that he was willing to work, that he was willing to take his possessions and give it to somebody else. Even though Paul's life was in chaos, even though the Ephesian church was going to be in chaos, this is what he leaves them with. Right after he tells them it is more blessed to give than to receive, he leaves them and goes off to Jerusalem where he will be imprisoned. In Galatians 6, starting in verse 7, says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Are we doing good to everyone? Are we doing good to the people around us? Are we building up barns to store our goods, to store our experiences? Folks, God is not deceived. If we work towards this flesh, we are going to reap corruption. We need to be of the Spirit, doing good to all, especially to the church. Everything that we have, everything that God has given us, is for this purpose, for loving our neighbors as ourselves. You know, having goals and dreams is not always a bad thing. but they have to be focused in the right direction. Psalms 37 and verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. If we focus on what God wants, if we do the things that he desires, he will give us what we desire. Now, doing this is going to change the things we desire, because we can't do the work of God and not be changed by it. Because when we are doing his work, his goals become our goals, and everything else just becomes less important. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 13, starting in verse 5, it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Are you in the faith? Or are you chasing after something else? Are we delighting in the Lord? Are we doing good to all people around us? We have to remember that it is more blessed to give than to receive. We can't build up barns for ourselves and expect that to work. It's not going to get us to heaven. We have to be about God's work, doing his will, storing up treasures in heaven. So let's focus on God. Let's turn our dreams into his dreams. We will sleep better at night. Now, if you need the prayers of the congregation, if you've struggled with this, if you've struggled with this life, this flesh, pulling you in the wrong direction, or if you need to be baptized, to have your sins washed away, now is the time to do that as we stand and sing.